Message tonight is about prayer. The title is actually, The Possible Potential of Proper Prayer. Amen. Four P's. Chris would be so tickled with that. Amen. Those are not the points. I've got 3 points, but that's the title. Got 4 P's in there. I thought that was cool. Pretty happy with myself. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 32, we're going to start off there. We're going to be in verse 24. Verse 24, we're going to just hit three passages, and hope it'd be a blessing to you. And just something we really need to do, but we need to focus on, and just kind of just help the Holy Spirit help us to understand a little bit more about prayer. Maybe that'd be a blessing. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this time, and we come before you in prayer just now, and pray that you be here in our midst. You promised, Lord, and I thank you for that promise. I've claimed it many times. You said, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in our midst. And I praise you for that. I pray that tonight would be just that case. And help us, Lord, as we open up your word and we depend upon the Spirit of God to convey the truths to our hearts and our spirits, that we would be strengthened spiritually. Holy Spirit, do what needs to be done. Help us, help me, Lord, just to be removed. Just fill me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And may you just convey the truth of the Word of God to your people here tonight and help us to be strengthened and taught and refreshed and comforted. Lord, whatever the need may be, I pray you'd even minister to the children, especially to the children tonight, Lord, and with the situations going on in their hearts and their lives. And thank you, Lord, that you're an all-knowing and all-loving and all-comforting God. Lord, nothing gets by you, and you don't want nothing to get by you either. You love us so much. I thank you, Lord, for that. Be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, verse number 24. It says there, in verse number 24, it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." This is later on in Jacob's life, where he wrestles here with the angel that's referred to many times as people have preached and taught and spoken of. But it says here he was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. That means it was all night long. Prayer allows God to see if we're serious about depending upon him in our life. And here Jacob was left alone, and he wrestled with this fellow all night long. And look at verse number 25. "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let you go except thou bless me.'" So, I mean, and he says, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he goes on so and so forth there. But the thing is, Jacob would not let him go. He would not let this whole situation, this whole episode of his life, he wouldn't let it go until God did something for him. He wasn't going to stop. I mean, he did it all. Have you ever done anything all night long besides sleep? I mean, you decided, "I'm going to do this. I don't care if I got to do it all night long." That's a hard thing to do. I don't care what it is. If you want to stay up and watch some good movie or whatever it is, if you want to stay up all night fishing, if you want to stay up all, you can't really hunt all night, not legally. I guess you could for coyotes, I guess. But you stay all night long, and you're going to work on a school project or work on the car and get it ready for tomorrow or do something in the basement or work or stay up all night and read your Bible or pray or something. When you decide to do something all night long, it is hard to do that. Because your flesh kicks in and says, "Hey, this ain't part of my routine. What do you think you're doing? I'm supposed to be sleeping." and your flesh is very powerful. But he was left alone. Nobody else was there. He could have just, you know, stopped doing what he wanted to do. He could have just done whatever he wanted. But he was going to continue. And he wrestled there a man with him until the breaking of the day. He did it all night long. We as God's children, God watches what we do. He watches what we do, but he also watches why, what's our motive behind why we're doing it. You say, "Well, tonight, let's take tonight, we're in church. God sees you're in church, and now, amen, he does see that, but he also sees why you're here in church. If you're at work and you're doing what you're supposed to do at work, he sees that you're there at work, but he also sees why you're there at work. If you're over somebody's house or whatever it is, God sees you there doing what you're doing, but he also sees why you're there. And he saw why Jacob was doing this. Jacob was determined he was not going to let this pass until God did something for him. He had had enough. He wanted God to do something for him. He wanted to have that testimony in his life that God did it for me. And I mean, this is late in his life. I mean, he's not a young man. He's not a very old, real old man. But this is later in life. He's got a few years on him, and he's seen some things come and go. And he says, this time I'm not going to stop until God does something for me. Have you ever gotten to the point where you said, that's enough, that's it, I've had it, it's not going to go anymore until we get whatever it is? Have you ever gotten to that point? That's where we need to be with this church right now. And we need to pray until God does something. We need to be at that point right now, individually, in our prayer life, at home, in our prayer closet, collectively as a church with prayer, cottage prayer meetings. And God bless Sister Susie for bringing it up. I didn't think about it. I didn't remember, but she brought it up, and she said, but God told me about it too. I said, well, hallelujah. I'm just glad it's been brought up. Amen. Because it's needed. We need to get serious about this church, praying for our church, praying for ourselves, one another, for the unity, for God to move. And we need to not stop until God does. Listen, God sees what we're going through. God sees what's happening here. God allowed it to get to this point, and now he's waiting to see what we're going to do. I guarantee you. I mean, God doesn't waste anything anywhere. I mean, he's waiting to see how Crossroad Baptist Church responds in this situation. He's waiting to see. Are we going to go to him? Are we going to go to him every day, over and over and over? Are we going to get to the point where seems like we're just badgering him and depending upon him to keep asking and asking him, or are we just going to figure out something another way? Listen, it's easy to go the other way. It's hard to stay all night long and decide, no matter what, I'm going to keep fighting, I'm going to keep wrestling, I'm going to keep doing this until God does something with me, or for me, or through me. We need to be serious about it. Because prayer is one way it allows God to see if we're serious about depending upon him in our life. And this church, we are part of this church. But just as we have our Christian life to live for the Lord, this church has a life to live for the Lord as well. And that is what we are praying and depending and just begging and beseeching God for. Leadership for that life, direction for that life, a strength for that life, nurturing for that life. Because this church, the church is a body. And it's alive. It's not just a corpse. It's a body that's alive. And God wants to use it for the cause of Christ in this world in which we live. And he wants to see. Prayer is one way that allows God to see if we're serious or not. Because just about every Christian that I can think of, that I probably know, when something gets really, really bad and they're really, really scared, then they at least think about praying. Maybe sometimes they don't even do it then. They ask somebody else to pray for them, sadly, because probably they don't know how to pray or whatever the reason is. But when things get really, really bad and they get scared, they at least think about talking to God, getting somebody to talk to God for them or talking to God themselves or something. Well, I'm here to tell you, and we should be well aware of it, we are in a situation where we need to be talking to God. We need to. And I'm not making light of it at all. It is a serious situation, but we need to get it tonight. Amen? And prayer allows God to see if we're serious or not. He sees what we pray about. He sees how much time we spend in prayer. He sees, you know, the motivation of why we open up our Bibles in the morning. He sees what drives us through the day. I mean, he sees all that. And we can't just come to church and just sit in our pew and go through a service and expect God to be tickled with that. He's not. Because he sees what's going on in here, why you're sitting in that pew. Amen. Amen. I tell you, sometimes when Chrissy was younger and we were raising her, I prayed many times that God would let me see what was going on in her heart. I wanted to see it, but That was not in my domain. And I was getting so frustrated because I wanted to see progress. I wanted to see what I could fix, you know. I wanted to see. And God says, nope, you just talk to me. That's hard to do. But it's what we had to do, so it's what I did. And God is able. He's so, man, I tell you what, Chrissy is awesome. She's a blessing. She is a blessing. And it's because of the Lord, amen. It's because of the Lord. And I look forward to years in, ahead from now, should the Lord tarry, of how these young men and that young lady right there are going to have testimonies like that too. It's going to be a blessing for God. Because God's not limited by us at all. At all. Not at all. Matter of fact, He's tickled to death to do something when we think it's a limitation. He says, I'll exploit that and I'll just show you what I can do, buddy. That's what God delights in, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not Pentecostal or flipping out or anything, but God's alive and He's real. Amen. Matthew chapter 9. Look at the next point about prayer. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, toward the end of the chapter there, it says, Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse number 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. This is a prayer request from the Lord himself specifically. I don't know if you ever thought about that before, but he's given us a prayer request right here. Pray ye, telling you to pray for something. And that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Here we see that prayer allows God to move upon people, bringing them into his will for their life. Verse 37, it says, Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Then he tells them, Pray that God will send forth laborers into his harvest. He's telling them to pray that God will send laborers because he knows God's going to use some of them to go into to be the laborers. So here prayer allows God to move upon people, bringing them into his will for their life. And that was God's will for their life, to go out into the harvest. The disciples, that's what God collected them for. God trained them for, to go out into the harvest. And he says, hey, listen, the harvest is truly as plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, listen, guys, there's a big job to do and not a lot of guys to do it. And he didn't say, go, 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 go. He said, I want you to pray that God will send some people out there. And you know, when you pray for something like that, a lot of times, God says, I want you to go. There's a testimony of a preacher friend of mine that I hold very close and dear to me as a friend. He told me one time that they were door knocking he was in Bible college at the time, and he was in a different state, and they were going door knocking for the church and for folks in that area. They were just randomly going door knocking in an area, and they were winning people to Christ. They were leading people to Christ and stuff, and they started researching it out, and there's no local church in the area. Not real close by. And so he says, man, well, there's no place to send these people. And then he said he was sitting in his pickup truck, and he said, he'll never forget it. It was like God just sat down in the pickup next to him and says, why don't you start a church for him? And he says, but Lord, I'm gonna be going someplace else. Everything's all set up. He says, yeah. But I said, why don't you start a church for him? And he said, he talked, and it was like he was just going back and forth with the Lord, and he said it was just the weirdest thing. And when he finally just bowed his head and said, yes, okay, I'll do it. And God says, that's all I wanted to know. And it's like he just got up and left out of the truck. He says, I just want to see if he'd say yes. God does that. He does that. But a lot of people don't pay attention, and they don't respond correctly. But God still does that. Prayer allows God to move upon people, bringing them into his will. Because he was praying, what are these people going to do? There's no church in the area. And God says, well, what about you? After he was broken, he says, okay. And God says, I was just checking. He says, you're still going to do what I want you to do, but I just want to see if you'd say yes. You say, God does stuff like that? Absolutely. Read your Bible. Read your Bible, what God did to some of the men that he's used in the Scripture, some of the ladies he's used in Scripture. Does he test them? Does he ask them questions? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because he wants them to realize where they're at. God knows the answers. He's like, I was always told whenever you have a situation where you are handling a counseling session or anything like that, or where it's going to be pretty, you know, pretty heavy duty situation, he says, whenever you have a situation that's brought up, you never ask a question you don't know the answer to already. You never do it. And any good litigator will tell you that too. They'll never ask a question in court that they don't already know the answer to, because they don't want to be surprised and caught flat-footed. That shatters your case. Well, God doesn't have that problem. He automatically knows the answer before you even knew you were in the situation, amen? But God will still ask that question. Why? Because he wants you, he wants me, he wants us to see where we're at. That's why he'll ask stuff like that. God never needs to be informed. Never. We just need to realize a lot of stuff. But prayer here, we see, prayer allows God to move upon his people, bringing them into his will for their life. Prayer does that. You know, God's not going to call anybody to serve him if they don't talk to him every day. Why would he? Think about it. Why would he? They don't care enough to talk to him every day. Why is he going to waste time talking to them at all? He's going to find somebody that loves him, talks to him, spends time with him, says, I can use this guy here. At least he'll depend on me. Amen. Prayer allows God to move upon people. The last one we're going to look at is James chapter 5. Talking about the possible potential of proper prayer. I was going to just leave it of possible potential of prayer, but then God said, well, a lot of unsaved people pray all the time. I said, okay, how about if I put proper prayer? He goes, yeah, that'll work. We got to do it the right way. Amen. Amen. James chapter 5, number 16. 5, verse number 16. James chapter 5, verse number 16. It says there, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I'm not going to talk about anything Pentecostal or weird or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is, we have a prayer list for people that are sick and ailing, and we pray for healing. Because God does that, amen? He does that. So don't be scared just because you saw that word in the Bible, okay? Many Christians, they do that. They recoil. They'll read that verse and say, woo-hoo, what's the next verse say? I'll pass that one. They just do that because they're scared of all the stuff that the devil throws in your face about faith healers and the guys on TV and all this other stuff. And you just recoil from that. I mean, I know preachers, they won't even preach on those verses. They're so scared by them. That's honest to God truth. And that's a shame because they're called by God to preach his word, and they're so scared by the devil using these false prophets to manipulate God's word that they won't even touch portions of it because they're so scared of it. That's true. And it shouldn't be the case in a Christian's life, let alone a preacher's life. But anyway, verse number 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. If you actually look at this verse, it's very possible it's not talking about a physical ailment here. Look at what it's saying there, okay? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's a lot that can be done when it's done the right way. We as Christians think, I don't need to talk to anybody, I just talk to God. That's true to a point, but when you're part of a family, you affect other people. You need to talk to them. You need to pray for them. You need to pray with them. Again, cottage prayer meetings, another push for that. We need to pray with one another. Confessing your faults, absolutely. It doesn't say your sins. It says confessing your faults. And the Holy Spirit can help you to understand that. If you have an unction from the Holy Spirit of God to go to talk to somebody about something, do it. Maybe you see their countenance is falling. Maybe you just see a change in their their attitude, or whatever it is, and the Holy Spirit points that out to you and say, why don't you go say this, or send a card, or make a phone, whatever it is, do that. He's telling you to do what's needed. It helps. It helps you. It helps the church body. It helps God get us unified so we can be used effectively as a church. Here we see that prayer allows God's will to be accomplished in spite of human limitations. If we do here confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that ye may be healed, the effectual fervent prayer of righteous man availeth much. If we get right with one another in the sight of God, and we strengthen each other with prayer, and we allow God to spiritually unify us and mend whatever is splintered off here or broken off here or worn out over here, and we allow God to mend us back together in a unified body, heal us back up spiritually, I believe that's what it's talking about there, then we can get together and pray and see God move. But if we are disjointed, if we are severed, peace over here, peace over there, and we see the distance or the discord or the disconnect, and we don't care, God's not going to answer your prayer. I don't care if you pray 24/7, 365 for 15 years straight. God ain't going to listen because you got a problem. You know you have a problem, and you don't care. Ichabod, you know what that means? The glory of the Lord is departed. Churches across this country go to church every Sunday, and they are oblivious that God's already written Ichabod right there in their church. Amen. Amen. Prayer is important, and this is three points here that talk about the possible potential. Not a promised potential, but a possible potential of proper prayer, because it still needs to be done. Just because we know about it, we still need to do it. That's why it's possible potential. But confess your faults one to another. And there's nothing wrong with that, amen? Family, that's what family does. Did I hurt your feelings, Mom? Yes, you did, son. You messed up with your room again. You did this with your sister. You know, you were supposed to do this and everything else, and the neighbor next door told me what you did yesterday, and I'm just so upset. Well, I'm sorry, Mom. That's family. Christians do the same thing. We're family. Amen? We need to do that. Listen, if we can't do something like that, that's a pretty pathetic God we have. Amen? If we can't do something like that, that's a pretty pathetic God. And I'm not bawling anybody out. I'm not mad at anybody. I just want us to just really be set on fire and determined and draw the proverbial line in the sand and say, you know, from this day forward, by God's grace, bless God, I'm going to pray like I've never prayed before, because we need God down here in our midst. And I believe God will listen to prayer. I know he will, especially if we do it the right way and we do it according to his will, and we realize it's him above everything else, including ourselves. There's a whole lot that he can do, amen? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's a lot that can be done. But we got to qualify. Are we righteous with the Lord? Are we righteous in his sight? Are we doing right by one another? Are we praying for one another? Are we allowing God to heal anything the devil's trying to throw in there, any rift or tear? Are we allowing God to do that to the church, to keep us going and unified together? If God sees that, he counts that for righteousness into us. Amen? Just like he did with Abraham. Amen? We got to do what's right. And listen, he wants to answer our prayers, but he's limited. He can't go against his word. God can't do that. Now, we do it all the time, but God can't do that. He's limited. We've got to do things his way according to his prescription for him to be able to have the windows of heaven open upon us and all these other things. I mean, he gave us the word of God for a reason, to see what's required, how to do it, and then the Holy Spirit to let us know why to do it the right way. Amen? He gave us all we need. We just need to submit to him both. Amen? Lord, we thank you for this time, and Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, you've given us to come together for services tonight. And Lord, I pray for many pews that are empty. Lord, I'm thinking about the NIPS, Lord, probably still in their sick bed. Lord, I just pray you just help them to recover and help not to get any worse, Lord, from this flu thing. And be with Brother Lowell and Sister Brenda, and be with Connie, Lord, as she's sore, and other folks that have situations, Lord, that I'm not aware of, Lord, but they're not here tonight as well. I just pray you be with them, minister to them. Help us, Lord, that have been able to meet here tonight, to have not met in vain. Help us to just realize that there's a lot of potential that's available through proper prayer. But we just got to do it your way, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for saving us, making us your children, allowing us to have an avenue to talk to you and affect you with the decisions in our lives. Lord, help us to do it the correct way. Help us to love one another, pray for one another, confess faults to one another if the need is required, Lord, and help us to see the healing be done by you. The best way healing can be done is by you. Help us to do that, Lord, and help us by spiritual determination, like Jacob, to not to give up until we see you move in our midst. We need you so badly, Lord. We don't need to be entertained. We don't need to see some fantastic thing to be done. We just need you to move in our midst and see that you're here and doing what would help us to. We need you to do what only you can do, Lord. But bring a pastor to this church. Help the church to be unified. Help us, Lord, just to be on track and do what's right. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for mercy, for grace, and for time to gather. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.